And now we come to the last part, the gospel. And the gospel is about the healing of a leper. That's why we had, as the first reading, the prescriptions about leprosy, trying to give us an idea of the suffering of leprosy, but also its ramifications. Somebody might not be sick, but they can be morally leprous, and they're in bad time. And some trouble with that is, if I got leprosy, I know it. If I have moral leprosy, unless I'm addicted, then I know it too. But if I'm just rich and selfish, I don't know what bad shape I'm in. The leper's luckier. He knows how much help he needs. If I'm really rich and I don't care for the poor, I don't know what dangerous situation I'm in. Anyhow, so we're just ending now chapter 1 in Mark's Gospel. We've been going very carefully through Mark, who's the reader. You know, this is the Matthew, Mark, Luke. So we're A, Matthew, B, Mark, C, Luke. So we're in B, Mark. And so we've done all this in the baptism of Jesus, the beginning, the call of the disciples by the sea. And then the very first miracle in Mark is what? See, I wish you people could answer me, then I could find out if you remember. Anyway, then they came to Capernaum on the Sabbath, and he went in, and what happened? In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" And so forth. The very first miracle in Mark is an exorcism, because that's the way Mark wants to show us the depth of the battle that our Lord is waging to clean the world out from the influence of Satan. "And if, by the finger of God, I drive out Beelzebul, then know that the kingdom of God is among you." So the first healing, the first miraculous action, you see, is the healing, the exorcism of this demon fella, the fellow with the demon, in the synagogue. This happens a lot, as I've mentioned when we were treating of that text, right? The word of God stirs up demons. They can't stand it. And they go screaming and so forth. You find it a lot if you're preaching in places where there's a lot of demonic still, like some parts of Africa. You preach, lots of people start screaming and retching, and it's tough. So here's one here. And for Mark, see, that sets the tone for his gospel. Then he goes into the house at the whole other end. He's in a little tiny house, Peter's house, and probably Andrew too. Boy, Peter and Andrew with their families are all in this house. It's a pretty crowded house, at least the one I've seen, which is very likely Peter's house, or at least a portion of it. Peter's mother-in-law has got a fever. And so they tell him about it, huh? And he goes over, takes her by the hand, and lifts her up. And she's healed. That's a foretaste of the resurrection, isn't it? Take a hold of her. Lift her up. Raised her up. Huh? Now, it's also a discipleship story. Because the minute she gets up, what does she do? She waits on them. And the word is from the root diakonim, you know? She serves them. It's a discipleship story. There are plenty of these in Mark particularly. He loves these things. It shows if you're called to be a Christian, you might not have a fever, or like another one, like in chapter 10, you might not be blind physically, but you got a fever and you're blind spiritually. You remember the blind man as our Lord is going into Jericho? Or leaving Jericho, depending on which text you're following. The blind man calls out, Finally, Jesus said, what do you want? Lord, I want to see. All right then. See. Receive your sight. Bingo. He sees. So what happens then? He follows him on the way. He follows him. It means he was enlightened, not just in his eyes, but in his spirit. And he becomes a follower of Jesus on the way. En Teodo, which is the earliest name for Christianity, right? What am I trying to show you? That these stories are so artful, so spiritual. You know, I've never been blind, thank God, with my eyes. But the Lord healed me and I follow him on the way, singing and praising God because of what he's done for me. And so that's the essence of it, you see. So now, then it was evening and they brought everybody to his place and he healed them all. Think of that. There were 85 people outside that door, or I don't know, and he healed them all. That's generosity, isn't it? He healed them all. And he drove out many demons. He always brings this up, Mark. And he wouldn't let them speak because they knew him. So then early in the next morning, he goes out to pray. He leaves Capernaum, probably goes maybe northwest up into the hills up there. There's a town up there. Used to be one anyway, Chorazin. But he probably is up there somewhere praying. They go looking for him and they find him. And he said, oh, look, they're all waiting for you back there in Capernaum. He said, no, I got to keep going. I have to go around. Let us go to the nearby villages that I may preach there also. For this purpose I have come. You see. And so he went into their synagogues preaching. And what else? This is Mark. What else is he going to stop and tell us? At driving out demons. You see. Throughout the whole of Galilee. Now we have the story, which is the gospel today. It's another one of these miracle stories, okay? So a leper came to him. Here we go. A leper came to him and calling out to him and kneeling down, and our English text puts that in. You don't need a lot of this, but there's some manuscripts don't have and kneeling down. So now you got another problem. Did somebody leave it out and start a tradition in the manuscripts that's left out? Or did somebody put it in and they said, you know, you don't know. But there are rules you try to judge. The quality of the manuscript, the normal accuracy of the manuscript, the number of witnesses, one way or the other. You do your best. In this case, my little Greek text just puts it in parentheses. We don't know what to do with it. Take your choice, put it in, leave it out. We don't know. Isn't that nice that we're so dumb? I mean, you want to try to stay humble, study scripture. You're beset by your ignorance every place you turn. Okay. So the leper said to him, Eon Thelis, if you wish, you can cleanse me. How do they translate that? Yeah, you can make me clean. Now we come into some problems. And I need my text. My Greek text says, ke splanknistis, which means move with pity. The splankna are the innards, the guts. He's moved, you see. But there's a variant. You don't have, we won't do this every time we do a text, but some of these variants are helpful. And it's nice to know there's variants. So, I should have had this ready before I started here. Okay. So, you see, and he came to him, and kneeling down and saying to him, you can cleanse me. And our text says, and being moved with pity, splanchnistis, but in the text, it says, and getting angry. It's a variant. Angry at whom? He's not angry at the poor man with leprosy. He's angry at the demon, or he's just angry to see his brother being eaten alive in his flesh because of the sin of the world, the mess the world is in. And to see that just disturbs him. It's the same with the raising of Lazarus, you see? And so stretches forth his hand. He said, you know, I do, be clean. And then it's a strange line here. And being very angry at him, immediately he cast him out. Does he mean he sent the leper away? Or is the him a demon? I don't want to bother you with all our problems in the same text. It's tough to know. It's tough to know. St. Augustine said, there's plenty of these things in the scriptures just to keep us humble. We're never going to master the scriptures. I think, though, it's not the only justifier. He's mad at the demon that caused this, and he's going to cast that demon out. Get rid of it once and for all. And so he does. What's important about this? This is the way the Lord looks on leprosy, on sickness, on poverty and hunger. And he suffers them with those who suffer. To this day, I was hungry and you fed me. How was he hungry? I was sick and you healed me. So Augustine has this word of prophecy in one of his homilies. He has the Lord say, I live in heavenly splendor, surrounded by angels and saints, embraced by my Father, but I am still hungry, I am still lonely, I am still sick, I am still, until you care for me. And finally, when I end the world, okay? So that's what he's saying here, you see? He's hurt that his brother is so sick. We have other texts like this. There's a text in Matthew where he healed a leper. And Matthew quotes this text from the servant song. It was our illnesses and he bore them. There's a mystery here, my friends, about the depth of the compassion and the love of Jesus Christ. We have got to learn this for our own freedom. But then, to apply all that this text has told us about, I don't care, I'll never eat meat again if it's going to bother my brother. How do I get that kind of love? Hanging around with Jesus. Being with him, talking to him, praying with him, carrying him in your heart, so that you get to know who he is and you let him take over your life. Okay? So the last part of this then, he says, now go and offer up what you need for your cleansing as a witness, but don't tell anybody. So he goes out and begins to preach all over the place. Very obedient. And so it got so bad, he couldn't go into the villages. Oh, Jesus, heal me. My mother-in-law is sick. Jesus, my brother's sick. And people are still like that because they're sick. They hurt. But it meant that he couldn't go into the cities except once in a while and get exhausted. So he stayed outside them, and they came to him from all over. They understood Jesus. Amen.